So I'm super excited for Divine Alignment. And I feel like this is part of why God moved me to Atlanta, literally, to be divinely aligned with the movement that's happening here. And I'm starting to see my why, which is really exciting, because last year it was really hard for me to understand why I had left my old timeline and why I was here. But now, with all of the wonderful things that we're collaborating on, I'm starting to see how we're building the kingdom. And divine alignment is kingdom work. Like you said, eight practitioners coming together over 8 weeks to teach the public about consciousness and how to align with the highest version of themselves. Myself personally, I want to teach writing. I want to teach writing as a tool for creating liberation. I believe that through the imagination, we have the power to magnetize toward ourselves the reality that we want to see. I am stepping into the role of a director. I do creative direction. And I believe that as a director, you have the power to invent new timelines, create new timelines of reality. And you get to program people's consciousness with those new timelines of reality. And it happens in the media all the time. I'm not a conspiracy theorists. I'm just being real. The way that Hollywood is right now, it's like they're programming people into the same experiences over and over.
All right, so we are back with another episode of the Dharma Girl podcast. I'm here with my new friend Ebony Davis. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Look at this coat. I think we couldn't go any further without peeping that coat. That's fire.
I had to show up looking right, representing.
Ebby and I have become fast friends over the last few weeks, really since New Year's. I guess we first connected at the Glow Up event on 11/11. And it's interesting because I had just come across her Instagram page a couple of days before that. That was a couple of days before New Year's. Mm-hmm. But she came to the Glow Up event on 11/11. How was your experience?
It was incredible, life-changing. The skills that I picked up on that day have stuck with me to this day and have really just grounded me and anchored me into this new timeline that I feel like I'm fully embodying now. So I would say that the 11/11 event was definitely a portal into this new reality, one in which we are homies, and I'm absolutely loving it.
Yes, I love that. And she was already on that healing journey. When did you publish your book?
I published my book in 2023, 10/10/23. But some of the oldest parts of my book are from 2016. So I've consciously, intentionally been on my journey since 2016.
And we're definitely going to get more into the book in a little bit, but she had already been on her journey. She had already been doing some healing work, and I guess she picked up some extra tools at the Glow Up to further enhance it. And I think one of those was breath work.
Yes.
Which is the most powerful yogic tool that I know and use in my personal journey. And we'll also go more into that. But we didn't actually connect then, even though she was there, because there's so much going on at those experiences. But we were both at Tony Jones's New Year's Eve event, and she came up and introduced herself, and she was like, hey, like, you're Dijon. I know you put on this event. I went. It was cool. And she just has a very strong presence. And I was like, okay, this is somebody to know. And I was like, wait, I just saw you on Instagram a couple of days ago. Like, I like your style. I like your photography, your aesthetic, your writing. So we started collaborating, and it's been pretty epic so far.
Yeah, it's been a little bit over a month now, and I'm just grateful for the creative vibes, the creative energy, and I'm excited to see what's coming. There's a lot in the works. Yeah.
I know some about Ebony. I've started reading her book. You're an amazing writer.
Thank you.
If you don't have a copy of Daughter yet, I highly recommend copying one, and we'll put the description or the notes for that in the description of this podcast. But I want to give y'all a chance to get to know Ebony in the way that I know her, and maybe even deeper on this podcast. So if you want to just start, I like to give people 3 minutes and 33 seconds to go from birth to now, and then we dive in deeper to specific parts.
Okay. Let me try to get it all in. I'm originally from Seattle, Washington. I was born and raised between Seattle and Portland, Pacific Northwest, girly down. I faced some hardship coming up. Both of my parents were drug addicted at the time when I was born. And so that led to quite a bit of turmoil and turbulence in the way that I was raised. My dad went to rehab when I was 4 years old. And so I went to go live with him. And as I've gone on this wellness healing journey, I've realized that's when my first wound of abandonment was formed because I was taken away from my mother and sister for the better, right? And because of the love of my father. And so I give him credit and grace and thanks. There's just been these pivotal moments throughout my life and childhood that have really informed the way that my journey has unfolded, both my journey before healing and intentionally coming into consciousness and then after. I lived with my dad for about 9 years. He ended up losing the house that we were living in. The economy was collapsing. This was like right before everybody lost their things. This was like 2006. He ended up moving from Portland back up to Seattle, and I lived with a teacher of mine named Miss Wasson because I was at this really incredible art school called Da Vinci Arts Middle School. I wanted to stay there for eighth grade. After being so just closed off and quiet and shy, I began to blossom, and I found my love of writing and my love of speaking and acting and poetry and just all of these things. She introduced me to Deaf Poetry Jam, and I was just like, I'm a poet, which came back around later after suppressing it a little bit. I got to high school after that eighth grade year. I went to go live with my mom for high school. I was meant to go live back with my dad, but I ended up living with my mom, which caused a little bit of a rift between me and my dad. And she was dealing with her stuff still. And just a lot of stuff in high school that really, again, informed my healing journey that would happen and unfold later. I went to the University of Washington for 2 semesters. Before that, I actually auditioned for America's Next Top Model, and I made it on the show. It's a show that I like grew up watching, and I was like, I'm going to be on here one day. So little did I know that I was a master manifester and that God had a very big plan for my life very early on. Mm-hmm. I did make it on the show. And so when I got back and I went to UW for those 2 semesters, I was like, I actually want to move to New York and pursue a full-time modeling career. Lots of rejection, self-esteem issues and things like that, just because at the time the industry was not open to a variety of different types of beauty. It was very standard, cookie cutter, singular idea, Eurocentric beauty standards. And I faced a lot of rejection, and that took a toll. But like 2015 came, and on Instagram, there was this natural hair community that started to emerge. And I was like, I don't know what it was inside of me. God, my little guiding light, my intuition, the Holy Spirit was like, I need to start wearing my hair natural because this is a way that I can begin to reclaim my autonomy. And so I began wearing my hair natural, and that's what really started my healing journey, because it made me begin to question my programming from society, from my parents. Like, if I believed for 24 years at the time that I was not good enough with my natural hair, then what other limiting beliefs were preventing me from ascending into the highest version of myself? And so it went beyond hair and beauty standards into a whole just questioning of the programming. What expired programs was I running on that was keeping me from actually evolving into the highest expression of myself? And so from 2016 up until now, I've really just been on this consciousness journey. I've done a TED Talk, I wrote a book, I've done some amazing things, but all in all, I feel like the best has yet to come. I'm really just getting started.
Mm. That's so powerful.
I don't know if that was 3 minutes. Hopefully it felt
longer. It was exactly
longer,
3 minutes and 33 seconds.
Okay, perfect.
That's a really powerful journey. Thank you for sharing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious, with both your parents being addicted to drugs, and it sounds like a lot of maybe not the most stable environment growing up, what was your source of strength or stability? Did you have a grandparents, or was it internal, or how were you able to have the confidence to pursue your dreams with the passion that you did?
Yeah, I actually did have really amazing grandmothers, Lala and Nana. And it's funny because they are both Buddhist, and I feel like that really informed my open-mindedness around spirituality, because they were the matriarchs of my family, and they practiced these religions that were outside of what typically like the African-American family would practice, which would be Christianity. Granted, I did practice Christianity. I was in and out of the church growing up, and I loved it. Like, I always loved God. Mm-hmm. I think that's always been a part of my personality. Even when there were times when I was living with my dad and he didn't feel like getting up and going to church because he was dealing with whatever he was dealing with, I was like, I'm going to church. One of the other ladies from the church would pick me up and take me to church because I was like, I need to go to church. Mm-hmm. I write about it in my book. Like, I always loved being in that environment. But again, back to my grandmothers, I think they really helped to just open my mind and the possibilities around spirituality and what that could look like for me, and just the idea that I could choose for myself how to craft that journey in a way that felt resonant.
That is actually really unique, because mm-hmm. I feel like the first thing that I got into outside of Christianity was Buddhism. I read a book by the Dalai Lama and it really resonated with me. But in my experience, especially in the Black culture, it is so strongly rooted in Christianity, and mm-hmm. more so like the further you go back. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really unique that your grandmothers, not just one, but two, were yeah. into Buddhism. And I'm curious if you know how they got connected to that tradition.
I think it was just a Seattle thing. I think it was Seattle in the 80s and 90s. That way of thinking just became popularized and it was something that they gravitated to. I know that my dad's mother specifically, I've had conversations with her around it, and she just let me know her grandmother was the best person she ever knew, right? Mm-hmm. That's what she told me. Her grandmother was the most kind-hearted, generous, loving person she ever knew. But I don't think she was baptized, is the story that she told me. And when my grandmother went and talked to the priest, the head of her church, they told her that her grandmother wouldn't go to heaven because mm-hmm. her grandmother wasn't baptized. Mm-hmm. So at a very young age, she just had this seed of doubt and this feeling that something wasn't right. Because if the greatest person she knew, the most loving, generous, open-hearted person she knew, couldn't get into heaven because they weren't baptized, it didn't align with her. Mm-hmm. And although she was raised Christian, went to a Catholic school because it provided the best education, I think she always felt like she needed to pursue her own route to spirituality. And she has also shared with me that Buddhism empowered her in a way that she felt like Christianity and Catholicism didn't, because she felt like she had two kids by the time she was 15 years old. And she felt like she did not have the creativity to manifest the life that she wanted, but Buddhism endowed her with this power to call things into her reality and to, in some ways, create that life that she felt like she wasn't inherently creative enough to make for herself.
Mm. Wow. What a powerful, like you said, two kids by 15?
Yes.
Whew.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, that's like some responsibility.
That's some serious responsibility.
Yeah. Wow. So you come from a very strong lineage.
Yes. Yeah.
So, you know, as you were growing up and progressing, you mentioned the artistic development and expansion in eighth grade. Was there like a specific teacher that inspired you, or was it just the interaction with the expression that kind of sparked that?
Definitely. Miss Wasson, I mentioned her a little bit earlier, but she was my literary arts teacher. And she's the one I ended up living with in the eighth grade. But she was my literary arts teacher for sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. And it was this core class thing where we had all 3 years with the same literary arts teacher. But yeah, she really took an interest in me, I'd say, in a way that a lot of people hadn't prior. And I think she just saw a lot of potential in my writing abilities and helped me cultivate that. And when I think back on that eighth grade year and my dad losing his house, I think someone who maybe is not as conscious or aware might look at that as something that's tragic or something that deserves victimization. But I actually look at it as divine alignment, because I got to live in such close proximity with someone who could help me cultivate my writing skills for an entire year and help me build my confidence in that arena for an entire year. I was under her roof at home and I was under her guidance in the classroom. And so that really helps to establish me in that space.
So I'm imagining that the seeing it as divine alignment is something that you can do now with a level of maturity that you have. But then, do you remember how you felt about it?
Totally. I remember seeing my dad cry for the first time when he told me that he lost the house that we were living in. I remember him calling me down to the living room. We had this burgundy sofa. I remember everything about that day. I remember the amount of light that was coming through the windows, because it was just such a profound experience for me. It was the first time I'd ever seen my dad vulnerable in that way. And I felt for him. Like I had an immense amount of empathy and compassion for him. And I really saw how hard he was being on himself in that moment and how much he was hurt and how much he felt like he had let me down. And I think that's what really stuck with me and really stuck with him, is like the feeling of not failure on an individual level, but failure as a parent. I know my dad comes with his own baggage around fatherhood and parenthood. He grew up without his father. His mother was a single mother and, like I said, had two kids by the age of 15. And so he really wanted to show up for me as a father in a way that he never was shown up for. He tells me that other people's parents had to take him to soccer practice and drop him off, and he had to get like lunch from other people. And so he really wanted to show up for me. So when he sat me down and told me that he had lost the house, I felt for him very deeply. Mm. Yeah.
It's a really powerful thing when we start to understand our parents as people and see them for what they're going through and what they're experiencing. And I think this is true for anyone, that people are just like passing down trauma and learning whatever they were taught. But it just, as a point of understanding, it becomes super powerful to be able to recognize that and develop compassion. And I think that's true with anybody, because as we were talking about in relation to our relationships, that really all people are ever communicating is, I love you or I need love. Mm-hmm. And if you can try to hear the underlying communication of one of those two things, then you can interact with those people with the appropriate level of grace and compassion.
Exactly. That, and I always tend to look at people in the context of their inner child, because if you are decent in any way, then you treat children with respect and you treat them with care and you treat them with compassion. And I think sometimes when we look at adults, we think, oh, they're big and grown, they can take it. But truly, when someone is feeling an emotion, it's coming from that inner child place. I know when I'm feeling not so great about myself, when I'm feeling like I need a boost of confidence or energy, I can just close my eyes and I can go in and connect with my inner child, and instantly I feel better. Mm. It's all about connecting with that smaller part of you that's maybe a little bit scared or uncertain. And so I try to not just do that with myself, but to do it with everybody. And it's like, when I think about the fact that to this day, I'm still connecting with my dad's inner child, his wounding, his needs. It's like, how could I not show up as loving and compassionate and understanding?
Mm. That's so powerful. Thank you.
Yeah.
So that's a very powerful inner child awareness and healing. And where did you learn that? Is that something you read in a book or?
Where did I learn that? Oh, I think I really learned how to connect with my inner child when I was, when I began like my womb healing journey. So I would just say like in the last year, I've been on my healing journey since 2016, but I'd say in the last year, I've really been focused on the womb. And that's when I really began to focus on my inner child. And I've really just noticed how when I prioritize her wants, needs, desires, my life just unfolds at a much smoother pace. I think before I was stuck in this like masculine energy, and it just was burning me out, and it kept me drained, and it kept me tired, and it kept me out of alignment, quite frankly, because I was rushing to get things done. I was using this force and this power unnecessarily. And instead of relying on God, I was relying on my own understanding and my own just desire to make things happen. And now I'm connected more deeply into the flow and into the desire and timing of God and my feminine energy. And I would definitely credit that to connecting with my inner child and connecting with my womb.
Mm. I love that. Do you have any ways you could recommend to people of how to slow down and move at the speed of God?
Ooh. So for me, if I'm being honest, I went broke.
Mm-hmm.
I went broke. And that is what it took to slow me down, break me down, and put me in position to actually receive more.
Mm-hmm.
So I left Los Angeles at the end of 2022. I was doing very well in my career. I was popping. I was doing very well in my career. I was living in Hollywood. I was driving a luxury vehicle. But I was stuck on this hamster wheel of capitalism, consumerism, needing external validation, not feeling like I was in alignment with my purpose, not feeling like I was actually living up to my full potential, not just as an entertainer, model, actor, whatever, but as a spiritual being. And I did a plant medicine journey the summer of 2022 that basically redirected my entire life. The medicine was like, in order for you to live a truly fulfilled life, you need to be, in order to live a truly fulfilled life, you need to be grounded in nature. Atlanta is where it guided me to. My dad was already down here. He had been down here already for about 5 years at the time. And I just listened. I ended my relationship, which was very difficult. I loved that person a lot. I still love that person. They're a great person, and they held a lot of space for me and my growth and my healing and all of that. So nothing but gratitude there. But I ended my relationship. I sold my car. I left where I was living, and I moved to Atlanta. I moved back in with my dad after like being on my own since the age of 19 and not living with him since the age of 12. So that was another experience in and of itself. But once I got to Atlanta and I was in between timelines where I had just left this old reality, but I wasn't quite in my new reality, it was just stagnant. It was like I was completely in the wilderness. Nothing was moving for me. No new opportunities were coming in. Nobody was, like, the work was gone. I was just stuck. And the only thing that I could do was focus on myself. And I had a little bit of a savings, but things slowly began to dry up. And I was just like, I have no idea where my support is coming from. And it just forced me to sit down and wait for God. And I had no other choice. And in having no other choice, I began to realize like the synchronicities, the things that would come together, the things that would come out of the blue to support me. I would want to create something. And in the past, I might have got the team together and got the budget and did all the things. But in this reality, it was like, oh, somebody's coming to me with all of the things, wanting to do exactly what's in alignment with what I want to do. That's incredible. All I have to do is relax and be on God's time and receive and allow it to happen in the highest, most divine way possible. And I feel like in that way too, it's like only God can get the credit. It's like when we do these things for ourselves, I think they're satisfying to the ego because we feel like we made it happen. But when you're really in that slow moving feminine energy, you can only, you know that your source is God because you're so still, and it's just, it's being given to you, not because of your doing, but because of who you are and the frequency that you embody. So I've just learned to embody my frequency, wake up every day and realize like the most important thing I can do sometimes is nothing. Just do what makes me feel good, because when I feel good and I vibrate high, then I become a magnet for all that I desire.
Speak on it.
Yeah.
That's a powerful personal reminder for me. I'm Aries man and like a fire starter. I like to get things going. It's my role in the zodiac is to create the forward momentum. So I'm always feeling that internally to, let's do this, let's do this. Which I think is an incredible strength, but I think for everybody, your greatest strength can be your greatest Achilles heel as well. So learning how to balance those energies and move from a place of being and do from a place of being and then allow things to unfold as organically as possible. And not to say that we're not taking aligned action, because sometimes spirit says, do this. Right? And you can't just say, if God wanted me to have it, he would put it in my hand. It's God made fruit and all that stuff, but you still have to harvest it.
Peel it.
There is some efforting involved, right? So it's learning how to find the balance between listening and taking the guidance of your intuition, but also taking aligned action and like moving on the spirit's guidance.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I feel like we're aligned in our awareness and desire to stay refined in that. And that's why mm-hmm. I'm very excited about some co-creations
yes.
that we have brewing up.
Yes.
And one is that you will also be participating at the Globe this year, sharing yes. some poetry and
yes.
maybe even some music that we've been working on.
Yeah, I think that was a big part of the quantum leap that I took last year while I was in that stillness, is being able to truly own my gifts and talents as a poet and to step outside of the scope and realm of relying on modeling as my primary source of income and my primary source of how I see myself in the world, more importantly, because I do have so many gifts and talents, and they are things that are truly God-given that nobody can take away from me. There's no gatekeeping, there's no door opening or door closing as there is in the modeling industry. These are things that truly originate from within, and so they are truly authentic to me and they can't be replicated. And I think that's an important thing too. That's something that I learned during quarantine and the pandemic, because I learned so much about myself during that time. But before I learned about myself, I faced a huge depression because I realized, or it felt as though, my identity as an individual got swallowed up into the collective consciousness. It was like all of the sudden everybody's an activist. All of the sudden everybody now has something to say, when since 2016, when I began advocating for natural hair in the fashion industry, and I did my TED talk and lost jobs and lost money and missed out on opportunities. I really didn't miss anything, but, you know, made sacrifices. Mm-hmm. It's like I had been making all of these sacrifices to walk an authentic path that was in integrity with my beliefs, and screaming into the void because people weren't really making the changes that needed to be made. But then all of a sudden in 2020, when the pandemic hit, and it was just like a very violent time, Breonna Taylor, and it was just like a very turbulent time, all of a sudden it was like, okay, now everybody's an activist. Mm-hmm. Everybody has something mm-hmm. to say. My industry, the people who were once like the token people who had their foot in the door, were now like, oh, I'm Black. And I'm grateful, because that is the point, right? The point is to raise the consciousness and raise the level of awareness, and to get people to have these conversations that you might just be having with yourself or with the few people around you. Like, it is incredible to witness on a global level, or at least on a national level, that people were becoming aware, but at the same time, it felt like my identity had been erased, or that there was just like no acknowledgement of the work that had been done prior. Mm-hmm. And so I fell into this depression, because I was like, where do I fit into the world now? Now, if everybody's doing what I'm doing, then what makes me special? What is my purpose? Why am I here? And so there was a lot of darkness between 2020 and 2022, but it was truly a cocoon. And I feel that it was pushing me into higher levels of self-awareness and higher levels of self-expression, which is where the poetry comes in. I began writing poetry again in 2020 in the pandemic, because I wasn't on that hamster wheel of capitalism anymore with the modeling and the flying and the going place to place and mm-hmm. showing up and being a hanger and taking on other people's visions. And so I really truly got to tap back into my authentic energy. And I just began to cultivate that part of me since then. But it took a lot of overcoming fear. It took a lot of being brave, because with modeling, it was like I'm taking on somebody else's vision. And I've also always felt that who I am as a physical being is the least of who I am. Like, it's not really hard for me to share that with the world, because I don't even truly identify with it. Maybe it's some Scorpio shit, I don't know. But like, my vessel, I love myself, I honor myself, I see myself as sacred. I know this is my temple and this is my sanctuary, and I take very great care of myself, but I truly identify more deeply with who I am mm-hmm. on a spiritual level. Mm-hmm. And so with the poetry, it's like, this is me revealing my spirit to the world. And mm-hmm. that just felt a lot more vulnerable to me. So it took a lot of overcoming. In 2023, I released my book, I released my EP. And for me, that was just like the opening of the butterfly wings after going through this period of darkness and depression and confusion, which was truly just a quantum leap into alignment with my purpose in the world.
I love that. I can definitely relate to the forced cocooning into the reemergence yeah. in a more authentic and expressive way.
Yes.
I was just saying that I can really relate to the forced cocooning and then the reemergence as a more deeply connected to self creative.
Yeah.
And I feel like in a lot of ways that was the process that we all had to go through with COVID, right? But I know that I've had my own experiences outside of that timeline that forced me to look within and find the eternal, unbreakable essence within. And that's actually how Dharma Glow was created. It's like that, what's the phrase? It's sometimes you feel like you're being buried, but you're actually being planted, right? So you're getting in the soil, you're connecting with the earth, and you're covered and you go into darkness, which is actually the womb for creation. And my hope is that when you hear my story, as I've shared before, and you hear Ebony's story, and you hear these stories of transformation, it can hopefully help you embrace whatever density you're feeling. And I think the key thing to ask when you're experiencing those things that helps in the transformation of them is, what is there to learn in this situation?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like, why is this happening to me? Because then you're feeling victimized in a way. Or even, I think, a more disconnected place is, this person is doing this to me, right? Because then it's external, right? Mm-hmm. And there's only one of us here. We all are one.
Yeah.
We're moving deeper into unity consciousness. So everything in reality is a reflection of your own consciousness.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the inflection point to self-mastery.
Yeah.
And Christ consciousness is taking responsibility for everything in your experience.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's in your experience, that means it's coming from you and there's something to learn from it. If you want to change it, then you have to look within about what needs to shift. And you mentioned that, like, the values you were projecting or the images of yourself that you had, and you've done an extraordinary job of rebirthing.
Thank you.
And even since I've known you, like the other day we had a musical creation session, and to see the transformation that you underwent in that span of 2 hours was like really powerful, like where you were communicating from in your body and like feeling really shy and insecure. And by the end you were like, I'm feeling this shit is fire.
It's like my pen, ain't nobody touching me. But yeah, I think humility is so important in any journey, right? Because I think it allows us to surrender to what is showing up and recognize that there is space for growth and there is space for change. And it just makes it so much easier, and it just removes all of the resistance. It's like when I put my ego to the side, because I could have just been in my ego and been like, no, I'm scared, or no, like this false sense of this is good. But instead I'm like, okay, I could improve on this. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Let me actually integrate like what I'm being taught, what I'm being shown, and see where I can elevate. And I feel like that's just the key to, that's been the key to like my entire journey, is just like being humble, like humbling myself more and more, surrendering myself more and more. Every day I pray, like, God, align my will with yours.
Mm-hmm.
That's like my daily prayer, is like, I want to be aligned with the mind and the will of God. Like, remove Ebony and fill my vessel with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ashe. And I think that's how we click, because I see the world in the same way.
Yeah.
And that day specifically, since we met, I felt a strong connection, right? I feel spiritual connections with people all the time. And I feel, okay, this is somebody I'm here to create with, to play with, to do work in the world with. And you are definitely one of those people. But in that moment of co-creation, I felt like there was a different depth of vulnerability. And I think it's because we were singing.
Mm-hmm.
And singing is a vulnerable thing, because that's like your voice, your expression, your voice is molded by the experiences that you have.
Yeah.
And going back to that, like you were mentioning, this is a tangent, but I'm a tangential thinker. You were talking about when everyone started becoming an activist, you had to rediscover who you were and what was different. And I think that's an important process for everybody to go through. But even if you're doing the same thing as everyone else, you're not doing it the same way.
Right.
Right. That's the easiest way to think about that is a cover song. It could be the same song, but done your way with your expressive energy and your authenticity in it. So that's just something to remember for all of us, that no matter what you're doing, you can always put your creative spark onto it.
Yeah.
And my personal experience with you creating that day was very inspiring, because I like observe the way you were interacting with yourself and the way you were receiving my guidance or perspective on what you were sharing. And I could tell that you are allowing it to touch you in a deep place. And then you would fight through the resistance and the courage and find the courage in the moment to try something new. Mm-hmm. And I remember it got to a point where it was like the third or fourth time we had gone through it and you were feeling more confident. And then you stopped and you were like, I was only not singing well because I had this idea in my mind that I couldn't sing.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. And you were like, I can sing. And I was like, yeah, you can. And you were like, no, I can sing. And I was like, and I was like, yeah. And it was like witnessing that inflection point in real time was really powerful.
Yeah.
And it also was very inspiring because we all have these stories. I don't always love my own voice, right? But we all have these stories in these ways in which we're shy. And I was just like, she's stepping into this uncomfortability and now you can step into this uncomfortability. Mm-hmm. And in the days since then, I've recorded some stuff that I really like and I was able to play with my voice and have it be a lighter process because sometimes creativity can be heavier than I think it has to be because we're like, it has to be perfect or like, it needs to be on the level of this other person that I like, or like it needs to be fitting to the ideal of what I think it should sound like, as opposed to this is just an expression of my authenticity at this particular moment. And whatever it is, that's what it is.
Right. Yeah. I think something so beautiful that I've realized on this journey is that emotions take up space. They create blockages. They take up space and emotions come from thoughts and beliefs. And so, like you said, I had this belief that I couldn't sing. And so it was creating this like blockage and it was creating tension in my body that wasn't allowing the vibrations to come through organically and naturally, like when they do when I'm speaking, because they are being filtered and processed through this thought and this emotion and this belief that I can't. And so I was like pulling back and I was shrinking. And I think that's just something so profound. And I think yoga and like daily stretching has really helped me with this. Mm-hmm. It's just this idea that like in those moments where we feel ourselves tightening, becoming conscious of that, and then doing the work to create that space and to just release, like where you have a tendency to constrict and be small, it's like you can pause and you can actually move space into there that just frees you up in your body. And that's when you're able to create from this very authentic place because you are free flowing. The energy is just flowing through you without all of those blocks and restrictions. And I think we tend to think of emotions as like this abstract thing, or like, I don't think generally we consider them to actually be something of substance that occupies space. And I think if we did, we would be more conscious of the way that they arise, the way that we process them, and the way that we release them. If we thought of them as, I think of them as like Legos, right? Where it's, I have this emotion, and if I don't do something with it, then it goes and sits on the other Lego. And then I have this other emotion, and then it goes and sits on the other Lego. And now I have this huge blockage, this huge thing that's preventing me from being able to express myself organically. And I think that's where a lot of sickness comes from in the body too, is because now you have this structure that's not you. It's the Legos that have built and built over the years that are occupying space in your vessel. But if you can take those moments to intentionally bring awareness to those feelings, then you can create space in the body again and free yourself from those emotions.
100%. I have a friend I know that survived her cancer journey. And she basically expressed to me that cancer is obviously has like a physical component, but the physical comes after the spiritual and energetic. So she was saying on an energetic level, cancer is related to resentment. And people that are holding on to a lot of resentment, it starts to create cancer in the body. Because that energy emotion that's supposed to be energy and motion becomes stagnant. And anything that becomes stagnant becomes unhealthy. Like even if water can't flow, like it'll become rancid. So we are allowing the energy to keep flowing. And one of those ways is to do the song that I mentioned that we were working on together, which is called 1+1=3, something to touch your heart.
For the lovers.
For the lovers. and get the energy flowing. So yeah. I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, I'm excited about that too. When I started the womb healing journey, that was like a big part of what we were learning. So many Black women in particular suffer from fibroids, PCOS, infertility, and it all comes from the emotion that is trapped in the womb because we have been through hundreds of years of oppression, coming through slavery, having our bodies systematically destroyed and holding in all of the emotion, not just from the physical oppression, but from the emotional things that have come up that our grandparents and great-grandparents haven't had the opportunity to express. We hold all of that in our womb, and that's our sensor of creativity. And so in doing the womb work, it's like you're intentionally clearing that, because when you have a clear womb space, then you also have a clear space to create the reality that you want to dwell in. And I truly believe that as Black women, we truly have the power to generate the reality of the experience that everyone is having.
Ashe.
Through our wombs. You know, we give life, and I'ma just say it, we are the OGs. Like, we are the OG life bringers. Life originated in Africa. And so I think it's so important that we take that time, spend that time with ourselves to clear those stagnant energies and patterns and emotions so that we can birth a new world. And shout out to Queen Afua too, because she taught me a lot of what I know in regards to that. So if you have the opportunity to look into her work, I suggest you do it. Get a copy of Sacred Woman and it'll change your life.
Yeah, she is an incredibly powerful healer and teacher, yeah. And she's been doing it for decades. And how old are you right now?
I'm 31.
31. And in your 31 years, you've also accumulated a tremendous amount of wisdom. And it's just very powerful to listen to you talk about you transmuting your traumas into triumphs. And I feel like you have a lot to share and teach other people that may be going through the same journey, whether they're older than you or not, because age isn't necessarily a barometer of someone's level of processing of their emotional experience and spiritual development. But I am very impressed by how you have bloomed. And another thing that we have that we're co-creating together is divine alignment.
Yeah.
So divine alignment is something we're cooking up, and it's going to be an 8-week offering featuring many different artists, healers, guides to assist the community on their deepening into self and their furthering of their creative expression. And Ebony's going to be a part of that. So whether it's about gaining more confidence so that you can know yourself as a beautiful being, which she was able to do despite the beauty standards at the time not aligning with her natural beauty, or becoming a creator and an empowered creator to know that your story is valuable. Those are just a few of the things we're going to be leading in. So I would love for you to maybe say a little bit about that.
So I'm super excited for Divine Alignment. And I feel like this is part of why God moved me to Atlanta, literally to be divinely aligned with the movement that's happening here. And I'm starting to see my why, which is really exciting, because last year it was really hard for me to understand why I had left my old timeline and why I was here. But now with all of the wonderful things that we're collaborating on, I'm starting to see how we're building the kingdom, and divine alignment is kingdom work. Like you said, 8 practitioners coming together over 8 weeks to teach the public about consciousness and how to align with the highest version of themselves. Myself personally, I want to teach writing. I want to teach writing as a tool for creating liberation. I believe that through the imagination, we have the power to magnetize toward ourselves the reality that we want to see. I'm stepping into the role of a director. I do creative direction. And I believe that as a director, you have the power to invent new timelines, create new timelines of reality. And you get to program people's consciousness with those new timelines of reality. And it happens in the media all the time. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm just being real. The way that Hollywood is right now, it's like they're programming people into the same experiences over and over. We see the same narratives for Black people that we've seen for hundreds of years, but I want to tell different stories, and I want to teach people how to write their own legend. Mm. You know what I mean? And I'm the main character in my story. I'm the hero in my story. Like, I liken my story to Simba from The Lion King, right? Where it's like, he started out as a youth. He went through this thing with his father. He became a castaway. He made some like unlikely friends, but then he was summoned back to Pride Rock to kick out the evil that had come in and stolen his territory. And that's how I feel. Like, I went through these things that kind of pushed me out of the space that I was in, and I grew up, and I feel like I was eventually just summoned back so that I could come back as the most empowered version of myself and be the hero and kick out the evil, because that's what we are doing. In case you don't know, we on some superhero shit, some Justice League, some Avengers, you feel me? All of that is real. I feel like all of that is real. All of the Marvel and all of that stuff is just a reflection of our own capabilities. I don't feel like there's anything in the movies that isn't a reflection of what we are.
I agree 100%, and you're definitely looking like a superhero with that coat.
You feel me? Superhero, supermodel, you know,
there
super,
it is.
Super soul model, all of the things.
So, you know, I could definitely sit here and talk to you all day, and it's always a pleasure whenever we come together and connect and elevate. But I think that's enough. I think it's about time to go outside and be creative. What do you think?
Okay, I'm with it. Let's go be creative. I just want to say, I hope you grab a copy of Daughter. That's my book. I put my entire heart and soul into that book. And I basically just wanted to create a blueprint for rising up into higher levels of consciousness and awareness, ascending out of your current circumstances so that you can become the highest expression of yourself. Hopefully you find yourself within my journey. Hopefully you don't make the same mistakes or fall into the same traps that I fell into. And I'm really just hoping that with this book, the world can elevate to a higher level of consciousness. And yeah, I just want healing for the entire community. So go get yourself a copy of Daughter, my baby.
I would highly recommend it. I can co-sign the book, and there will be lots of opportunities to connect and experience the vibrations we're creating. As we mentioned, we got the song 1+1=3. We got Divine Alignment happening in late spring, early summer. That's the 8-week container transformation. And then we got the glow up happening in late October with Londrell, Tony Jones, myself, Tone Levels. So we're just doing a lot of powerful things in Atlanta. Anything you want to learn more information about will be provided in the description below. But thank you so much for tuning in with Ebony and I. And we love you, and we're out.
Peace.